Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Souther Teague. My buddy Damon Bolte is traveling the world. I don't actually even know where he's at right now. He was in Italy. He was in France. I don't know. Maybe he's looking at underpants.
Yes.
If I know him, that's what he's doing. So anyway, we're going to have a great show today. It's another hot day here in Brooklyn. Summer is upon us in a quick hurry. And in the studio, we've got Darren Grenier from Yours Sincerely here in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
How you doing?
I'm great, man. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Super stoked to have you.
I am stoked to be had.
Because we're going to talk about a lot of things, and we're going to wind up talking about the thing that you do now, which is your tap cocktail program that goes on at Yours Sincerely. Yeah, so, I like to go chronologically, so we're going to start with kind of the beginning. Not all the way back to birth, but...
Boring.
Yeah. Yeah, the first few years are pretty slow. But what kind of got you into this? And while you get started, you brought some drinks for us that are all your tap cocktails, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't bring them all, but all of these cocktails that you have here.
Yeah, I brought eight different taps.
Remind me what I'm about to open.
That one there is called the Speed of Light. It's sort of like a lavender soda. It's a low ABV cocktail. It's got Coca Americano Rosa, lemon, lavender, lime, lavender agave syrup, lavender tincture.
Cool. And we're going to see if it...
Or lemon, yeah.
We're going to see if it remained carbonated on the way over.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Sweet. That was the moment of truth, right?
Sweet.
I could see your face. You're like, please, please, please. I'm going to pour some. I'm going to pass around. Also, silently in the studio, we've got the angry Matt Resler. He's not going to say anything, but he's going to drink with us today.
Keep him quiet.
Matt from TOTC-nominated Bar Goto. Way to go, Matt. What got you going?
I've been in the industry. This is about my 20th year now. I started.
Holy shit! This is really refreshing and bright. By the way,
I really thank you very much. My wife is played a big part in that cocktail. Actually, she said, "I want you to do a lavender drink." I'm like, really? Okay,
all right.
Started as a cook actually at Outback Steakhouse when I was 19.
No rules, just right.
No rules, just right. Yeah. Worked my way through there. Got into the front of the house because I wanted to make. I saw the staff, the wait staff make, you know, if it was busier, they made more money.
Right, whereas if it was busier for you, you just worked harder.
Yeah, I was like, that sounds pretty cool. So worked my way, bussed, hosted, served, and got into bartending right before I actually quit there. I did a stint, actually, in Mexico. I worked as a spring break travel guide for about 6 years, 3 months out of the year. Went down there and just got people drunk, promoted parties. It's a lot of fun. So I had quit back to go do that one of the years. But moved to San Diego in 2000.
All right.
And got a job in a restaurant/nightclub there. So that was where I kind of got into like the actual bar world or the nightclub bar world anyway.
That's part of it.
Yeah, it is a version of it. And so I whored myself out to a bunch of different bars in San Diego, most of which are not in existence anymore.
That's the nature of nightclubs.
Right.
It's hit it and quit it.
Yeah, every couple of years, rebrand, close down, start over.
I always assume that it's the same people, too.
It is the same people.
Right.
Yeah. I can name off like four or five that I went through that no longer exist, and they all own new existing clubs.
Right.
Yeah. They just switch locations or...
Or just fold and rebrand, right?
Split off and steal people and... But a great community. I'm not talking crap, but I love
it. No, me either.
Met a ton of, obviously, in this world, you meet a lot of great people, lifelong friends. So worked out there, you know, barback, bartended about 7 years or so. So got used to the high volume speed, you know, really all they cared about was what your, you know, what's your highest, you know, ring.
Right.
And how many people can you get into the club on Friday and Saturday night? Actually, I had requirements at a couple of the clubs where we had to.
Yeah, no, I've seen these.
Had to present a list,
like rubrics of what your KPI, what you have to bring into the door.
Yep. If you don't, you get a crappy well, and then you're like, eh. So did that, and then all the while, I have a construction background. I had a home remodeling business out there.
Man of many parts.
So I did, yeah, I did Monday through Saturday, always remodeling homes, flipping houses when it was the big boom, and, you know, working on the weekends in the bar. Had bought a house, lost it in the whole debacle, 2007, 2008 there. So sort of wanted to eventually escape San Diego. My brother, I have a twin, actually.
Where's Damon when I need him?
I know.
Creepy. I'll say the same thing I say every time he says the word twin. Creepy.
So weird.
Just creepy, man.
So he was already out here. He's a hairdresser. He owns a salon in Chelsea called IGK Salons. It's in the Dream Hotel. A little plug for him.
Yeah, right on. Let's go everybody go get your hair cut at IGK.
Yep. He was already out here, so I wanted to, you know, get away, and where would I go? Let's go out there and sleep on his couch for a while.
What are brothers for?
Yeah, he definitely, I owe that guy big time, because I came out here with nothing, so he supported me for a long time. I feel like this long story short is becoming long, but that's all right.
That's why we're here.
So
it's a talk show.
That's true. Very good. How much longer do we have?
Yeah.
Went to, oh, cheers, by the way.
Cheers. Yeah, I've already finished mine. It's really good.
It's more. And I've got a ton more. So
we'll move through a few of them.
So escaped to New York. Not from New York, but I escaped to New York. Came out here not wanting to do construction. But I did bring my tools as a backup.
Smart man.
Yeah, just in case. My idea was to come out here, just get a bartending gig. And
this is super easy to do in New York.
Yeah, totally. Especially coming from not New York. I thought New York would tell me what I was going to do with my life. After months and months of not finding anything, because everyone wants 2 years of New York bartending experience.
Yep.
Doesn't matter how many prior you had. It just didn't work out. So on one bummed out day, I was with a buddy of mine, and we were at a bar in Bushwick that had just opened up called Miles, and just kind of like, you know, being bummed out and, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. My brother's paying for everything. I'm sleeping on his couch.
My brother's paying for these drinks I'm having.
Yeah, I'm going to send him a bill for what I brought. Yeah, just being bummed out, and my buddy Ben was really trying, you know, cheering me up, doing a good job about that. And this gentleman named Julian, who is now my business partner and best friend, was randomly sitting at the bar that was just myself and my friend, and then him and his girlfriend at the time. They had just come in. They looked beaten and broken. They were in the midst of just starting to build out a little restaurant called Dear Bushwick, and I overheard them complaining to the bartender that their contractor had skated on him. I think it was like $25,000 they had paid him, and he just kind of never showed up again. Left some tools.
That's opportunity knocking.
Dude, looking back, yes. My buddy actually had the balls to, like, you know, be like, yo, this guy's a contractor. And I was like, no, dude, you know, I don't want to do that, but
right.
That's
why you brought those tools.
But that's exactly. And so we just actually, there was no thought of, like, you know, it really didn't even pop into my head, like, yo, I'm going to get a job out of this. We just were kind of talking shit about contractors and what we've dealt with, you know, and myself with subcontractors and, you know, yeah, I mean, it's hard to get people to show up on time and to actually show up and come back and do what they say and, you know, say what they mean. And then I was, you know, I was like, well, you know, I'm not doing anything except sleeping on my brother's couch. So I'll come over, check out your spot. If there's anything that I can do to help, let me know, you know. Showed up the next day, said pick a project and we'll get going on it, you know. And long story short ish I became a partner and we built out there Bushwick and opened that in 2012, end of 2012. And Julian knew a wonderful lady named Natasha David.
Yes, who we did all know her. She's amazing.
She is amazing. Yes. And Jeremy, her husband, and their little baby, who's the cutest kid I've ever seen, besides my child. equally cute.
They're in a tie for number one.
So she did our very first, she did everything for our first cocktail menu at Der Bushwick, trained me.
Listen, man, that's opportunity knocking again. You got your first gig in New York, you got trained by Natasha.
It was huge. I mean, it was, and you know, I didn't necessarily know what that meant at the time, but now watching her and seeing who she is now, you know, I realize how amazing that was. And
so what year was this?
This would have been 2012.
12, okay.
Yeah. I think actually we might have been her first consulting gig.
Maybe.
If I'm not mistaken, although it didn't seem like her first.
Yeah, she's poised.
Yeah.
She's very
graceful. She's on it. And I'll tell you, man, the technique, her technique, I stuck with it the entire time that we had Der Bushwick. She, you know, worked super clean. Everything, you know, gets put back. I loved it. Yep. Very meticulous. So that is kind of what really got me into the craft of, because I already worked with my hands anyway. So I was like, the craft of this is awesome. So started reading books, read every book I could find about history, cocktail, you know. She got me onto Bar Smarts. Did Bar Smarts Advanced. Wish I could have done the 5-day.
It's expensive, man.
Never pulled that one off.
Unless you can get some sponsorship. That's
yeah. Never say never, but
right. Yes. I haven't done it.
it's a pricey. It's a tag on.
I look at it every time and I think, oh man, if I could get somebody to cover four of that, if I could get someone to cover 4/5 of it, I'll do it.
And you know, it's worth. I'm sure it's worth. You know,
but every single person that. who goes through it does amazing things.
I mean, yeah, it's worth more.
It's basically a golden ticket.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
but yeah, so
we'll get there. We'll go together.
We'll get there.
We'll split
it. That would be, yeah, let's, yeah.
We'll do two and a half days each.
Yeah, exactly. So she really gave me that inspiration of, that whole, the craft techniques. I took that and kind of went with it. We had Der Bushwick for a while.
And so Der Bushwick was classic cocktails with some modern twists.
Yeah.
And a full-on restaurant.
Full-on restaurant. We were in English country kitchen. We had an amazing chef named Jessica Wilson. Look out for her, by the way. She's on doing her own thing and just being amazing.
She got a name yet, or?
She has a name, absolutely. But in terms of a space, it's going to be called Grace. I'm not sure.
Grace. Oh,
yeah, it's going to be called Grace.
So we'll look out for that.
Yeah. And it was a fun ride. She was very like, we had an amazing pork chop. That was one of the things that most people know us for. So lots of meats, veggies. She did some amazing stuff there. I was inspired greatly by her, in the cocktail realm, and, she helped me with a lot of things as well. So
she had to move on, and then you shut down and rebranded, right?
She moved on. We, shut down, rebranded, the Der Bushwick side, to Sincerely Burger. Burger spot. That was just over a year ago. All the while we had the space next door. So we always had two spots. For a while it was started out as an Airbnb apartment that we rented out that helped us to pay for things. kept us afloat, especially during the build out.
Things are often expensive.
One of the main reasons why we were able to take 9 months to build the Der Bushwick out, but always with the idea to put a bar in there. It's going to be a speakeasy or, you know, a bunch of different things, but, you know, it just took a while to do it. And we toyed with a bunch of different concepts, and you know, thankfully it took us a while to get to the point of being able to put it together, because some of the original concepts just wouldn't have worked out. But we, you know, always having the space, we knew that we wanted to do something that was different and something that we could, you know, really be happy about. And somehow, well, we were dealing with...
Before we get straight into your Sincerely, let's finish up with Sincerely Burger.
Sincerely Burger, yep.
The Sincerely Burger, you started doing just burgers, no more full...
Just burger, cool, yeah, fried chicken, yeah, sandwich.
Let's pour some more of that.
Let's do some more drinks.
You're reading me loud and clear.
My mouth's getting dry, so I need some more booze.
So you switched the program to just burgers and cocktails, but you went a step further with the cocktails there in that they're all prepared in advance.
Yes, and I love that word that you, I think the first time that you and I met, you brought out that word that you preferred
prepared
to be.
There's still there's a difference.
Extremely.
Let's go the other way. A batched cocktail is a cocktail that you cheat all your non-perishables together. Let's just say it's a Manhattan. You go and you go ahead and put your rye whiskey and your vermouth and your bitters into a vessel, but then you still have to dilute and chill over ice. So that's
right.
Batched.
Right.
Prepared is the water ratio has already been added and it's been chilled already.
Yeah.
Right. So you do all prepared cocktails at the
yes,
burger,
sir.
At
yeah.
Sincerely Burger.
The idea was to kind of, we ran into, you know, it's a one man bar, one girl bar, one person bar, also at Yours Sincerely. So, you know, getting bogged down with seven ingredient cocktails when you're trying to have, you know, perfect timing with food, appetizers, things like that. We always ran into situations where the bartender was getting backed up and, you know, tables would get their appetizers before they got their drinks,
right.
Which should never happen.
It's a bad look, yeah.
Yeah, so going into Sincerely Burger, I wanted to make that easier, and I really wanted to not necessarily have to have a quote-unquote bartender. I wanted it to, another inspiration from White Lion, actually. It was just everybody that worked there could do everything. That
yep.
was sort of the idea from that.
White Lion, God rest its soul, it's gone. I was there on the last night.
I wish so bad. I was there on a night.
Ryan, I was there, he was there.
A couple nights, actually.
Yeah, he just told me... I said, why are you closing this thing? You got so much accolades and so many awards. And he's like, just wait, buddy. I got a great idea.
More to come.
So I'm excited for what comes next.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
But a great inspiring place for me as well. And we'll talk about that, too.
It's just amazing. The prepared cocktail thing was just, you know, it's perfect. So
it makes sense.
It does.
For that business model.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't work in, you know.
It doesn't work everywhere.
Some people like it, some people don't. But yeah, for what we wanted to do, we just wanted to sort of simplify things. We shrunk it to, you know, we just have four classics on the menu. Margarita Daiquiri, Negroni Old Fashioned, basically our top sellers.
Of course.
Before beer, wine, you can do neat and rocks, pours, stuff like that. And we do have a couple of sodas that you can mix, do like one-on-ones. But for the most part, it's all prepared menu, so... And it's really helped streamline the speed of sort of a burger joint. So,
right. Sounds great to me. I can get a quick burger and a quick classic cocktail. I'm in.
Yeah.
And maybe a beer on the side.
Absolutely. Beer and a shot.
I got two hands.
You got those too.
Vengeful God gave me only one mouth. But I use it to great use here at Heritage Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break now that we've gotten sort of up to date. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about... the tap cocktail program that you have going on at the next iteration.
Right? Awesome. Yeah.
Cheers. We'll come right back.
Cheers.
Hi, I'm Mike Edison for Heritage Foods USA, and I want to tell you a story. Sam Edwards of S. Wallace Edwards & Sons has been one of Heritage Foods' greatest partners and a Heritage Radio Network sponsor for many years. Sam produces some of the greatest ham in America, cured in an old world style for up to 400 days until they are perfect and ready to serve. Sadly, though, Sam's entire facility in Surrey, Virginia, was destroyed by a fire early this year, including his smokehouse and literally thousands of hams. It was an incredible blow to everyone that is part of the Heritage Foods USA chain. We now had thousands of hams that Sam normally would have smoked and cured. Our entire network of family farmers who depend on Sam's business every week were potentially devastated by this loss. Incredibly, Our extended community of Cure Masters came together and helped us out by boosting their heritage charcuterie production, starting new curing lines, and helping us turn a disaster into a new heritage foods initiative to better the quality and taste of American charcuterie through the use of pasture-raised heritage breeds. Heritage Foods is now able to premiere a brand new selection of ham, bacon, and salami from true American artisans with generations of experience behind them, dedicated to the art of curing by hand, even as we continue to offer Sam Edwards fantastic hams while they are still available and help him rebuild his business. Heritage Foods USA has been a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network since day one. We hope you'll visit our website, heritagefoodsusa.com, to learn more and check out our entire line of steaks, chops, provision, gifts, including this amazing cured ham I am eating right now. Wow, this stuff is good. It could change your life.
Hey, I'm Jimmy Carboni, host of Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Our show's about beer, cider, things behind it like grains and malts and hop growers, and we'll talk to beer bar owners, brewers, kind of the whole world of what's going on in drinks. Tune in on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Support my show and all of the Heritage Radio Network programs. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the Beating Heart to donate.
And we're back on the Speakeasy. With Darren Grenier. Sorry, we're just pouring some cocktails for ourselves.
Sorry.
What did you pour for us there? This is your tap margarita.
This is we call it the El Nino. We've got Pueblo Viejo Blanco tequila in there.
Good juice.
Lovely, lovely stuff.
Yeah. Underrated. Like super underrated.
It's super underrated. For the price, it's amazing.
You're welcome, Pueblo Viejo.
Yeah. Agave, orange bitters, orange tincture, lime acid.
Right, so let's talk about that. This is a margarita, and it fucking ain't tastes like a margarita.
Thank you.
But there's no juice in there.
There's no juice in...
And the reason you do that is because at Yours Sincerely, you have 32 cocktails on the menu. And
well, we have 31 taps. We have 20 tapped cocktails.
20
at the moment.
20 tapped cocktails. So all on and it's 10 and 10, right? 10 carbonated, 10 flat. Am I messing this up? You give me the numbers.
Let's find out. Let me see if I remember.
I've already had a drink or two.
Let me see if I remember. So we have 8 carbonated drinks. 5 of those are cocktails. 3 of those are house-made sodas.
Oh, rad.
That we have. We have a mixer and elixir section where you can add liquor to it, you know, to if you just want to not get too crazy and do like a one-on-one kind of thing. And then we have 11, 12 nitrogen pours, and that's including 2 cocktail shots that are undiluted specifically for shooting. And my reasoning for that was working in nightclubs, having mixer shots. I just was
of
like,
course.
Oh, let's have.
Yeah. Why not?
For the people that don't want to do a straight shooter. So.
I'll be, I'm going to come clean to the audience. Beers. I've been to your, and 6 beers. I've come to your bar. With my buddy Sean Johnson, who works for me to Mori Margo, and we drank one of every.
I saw pictures.
Cocktail. I put out photos. I was like, "This shit is great."
And thank you, man. We've actually had people come into the bar that were sent by you.
Oh yeah, man! I sent people if they say they're out that way. I'm like, you got to hit this spot.
You have no idea how much that means to all of us. My team and everything.
It's my pleasure.
We appreciate it.
Real quickly, Damon just texted me. He's in Florence, Italy. I had no idea.
He's a little bit off.
He just said, "I'm in Florence, Italy, doing a guest bartending shift. Have a great show." So thanks,
Missed
Damon.
Missed you, bud.
Yeah. Cool. So, this is delicious. So
you
got to talk about, cause I get the sense that, and I've never thought of making drinks or even making food as art. I certainly see it as craft, but this kind of starts to border on science. This is making me think back to my time at Booker and Dax with crazy ass Dave Arnold.
Brett got, rest in peace. That one.
Yeah. It's coming back. They're looking for a space. They almost landed a space and then it got swept by. Honestly, a sweetheart of a handshake deal. The place they were going to get, the landlord of the building had promised it just by handshake to someone who lived in the building. And they were almost done and ready to ink the paper when that guy stepped forward and said, you know what, I do want it. So I feel pretty okay with that.
Okay.
But they're still searching.
Awesome. So
Booker and Dax will rise again.
Yeah, that Dave Arnold was another huge, gigantic inspiration. Him and Ryan, yeah, those are the gods. What were we talking about? This is going right to my head here.
I said there's this kind of borders on science.
I appreciate you saying that, man, because we do a lot of work.
It's alchemy.
Behind the scenes.
Preparing. No, that's the work behind the scenes. It's prepared.
It is. I mean, it's very meticulous. Opening the bar, you know, going against, we knew that we were going to battle people's preconceived notions of what they've experienced in the draft cocktail realm. Mm-hmm. There are people that are doing it. It's been around for a while. We definitely did not invent this. And there are people doing it.
Just went whole hog about the thing.
We just wanted to, take it by the balls.
Why not?
So we knew that, we had to do it good and we had to do it right. And the juice thing, if that's where we're going with this,
yeah.
You want to start talking about that?
Because it's not the best thing in the world to put juice inside of a keg.
No, yeah. I mean, we wanted to, I wanted to make sure things would last. I had no idea how many we were going to sell.
How fast you're going to go through them.
Yeah.
What's a turnover on a keg, etc.
Yeah, I need these things to last for a couple of weeks at least, and then I was kind of like, well, let's make them last forever. Like, why, especially if they're going to be in a cavern that is, if you can purge the oxygen out and make it this thing that is, free from oxidation. And reading Dave Arnold's book inspired the whole acid thing, although in his book he says he would never use the acid to replace fresh juice. But that's...
So there, Dave.
That made me want to do it. So we took that, and in the beginning we were doing this has been let me say a complete evolution. I'm learning and failing every day, but also the main thing is that we're learning. You learn from mistakes, and it's been a huge amazing ride.
If you learn from mistakes, I am a fucking genius.
So it has been a constant evolution. So we're working together, constantly changing things and improving and seeing if we can make things work better and more streamlined. So in the beginning, we our sort of acid was a mix of malic and citric acid or citric acid and water, so sort of making a blend there, and then using a citrus peel tincture to give it its flavor. Which we were also making. Yeah.
We run like a kitchen lab over there.
Right. Yeah, everything that we do, we make, and it is a Monday through Friday, all day gig.
So you have guys, including yourself, or is it just you, that are dedicated to this aspect?
100% could not do this on my own. I have an amazing team that is behind me. First, with my business partner, who is the reason why this whole thing was put together. He is amazing at kind of like putting the puzzles together. And then staff. These guys are awesome. They're really the backbone of and the face of our business. We all take part in the preparing process. And my wife, she helped me really create. I mean, I had just had my baby, and when I was doing like
tasting, and you thought to yourself, she hasn't done enough. Let's put her to work.
Yeah, I want to make her drink every day. And we were going through the tasting phase of the menu, and we were living in an apartment that had a basement, so I made a little bar down there. And I literally every day for about 7 months, I was down there making and drinking alcohol. And my business partner actually lived above us, and I was like texting him like, "Yo, are you awake? Like, are you ready to drink? Because I have something you need to try."
And you wake up tomorrow and you can't remember what
sleeping.
It was.
Yeah. The kid's sleeping. I need you to come taste some booze. It was definitely a process. Anyway, enough giving shout-outs. So we were doing the tincture with the acid. Very good sort of trade-out. It worked for a while. But I tried to make it a little bit more cost-effective.
I was about to say, what's the cost-effective? That's literally my next question. So
tincture was this, another shout-out, the industry standard or the technical reserve is what we are using. Priced right for them, but for what we're doing $8 cocktails at the time, so I had to kind of like bring things back into like what we can do in terms of running a business and having a little bit of a profit. So I started experimenting with other ways of creating the juice section. And the amazing thing about having this this citrus acid blend that we call it is you have a blank palate sour. So you don't have – what's awesome about making drinks the way that we make them is we can you know, when you're in this sort of lab behind the scenes, you can kind of do whatever you want. And we weigh everything. So we are down to the 0.1 gram on things. So you can add and remove flavors, you know, very precisely. So sure. You can add as much or as little as you want. So that's been a fun sort of evolution there. And so taking out that tincture in terms of cost, I needed to look at that. And so I started thinking like, okay, well, it's an infusion, lime peel infusion. Well, what if I drop the lime peels in the acid blend? Mm-hmm. And made that taste like what we wanted it to taste. So
you take this blank palate and then you add the peels from the citrus that you want it to taste like.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's freaking difficult, I will tell you, because you really have to watch out for pith, you know. And you know, just like when you're making a cocktail to order, you don't want to peel too much pith off because you're adding
bitterness.
Well, in this situation, the bitterness is
amplified.
It's amazing. So that's been a trick, but I'm thinking, and my staff agrees at the time or right now, that this is sort of our best version of our acid mix. So and you can,
I mean, it's delicious.
Thank you.
If you handed me this and said this is a margarita, I wouldn't have questioned it at all.
And that's what we were going for.
And then if you came back and said it doesn't have any lime juice in it, I would have said
fuck you asshole,
give me another one.
I mean, we want to, and you know, the basis for our program and our cocktail menu anyway was to kind of attack the classics, what people know, what's familiar to them, so when they taste it,
it rings a bell. There's a familiarity. I get it.
It's already a different enough concept having a bar that is completely on tap. We didn't want to push any more people away by having all these crazy, you know. And we do have custom blends that we do. Then the beauty of that blank palate sour is you don't have to have it taste like anything. It can just be what pops or what makes your cocktail pop.
Right.
You know what I mean? It can give you when you're how many times are you behind the bar and you're like, this is, I'm so close, but it just needs that little pop, you know. That's a huge bonus right there. You know, it doesn't have to take, you know, you add lime juice or lemon juice, it tastes like lemon or lime. And,
right. Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, you know, when we worked at Booker, we were always tinkering around with acids and stuff like that. And I think one of the greatest things that we did there was when Nick Bennett was the bar captain, he looked at orange juice and he thought, you know, the argument that's constantly going on, bartenders hate orange juice, is not acidic enough. So he acid adjusted orange juice to be as bright as lemon juice, but still tastes like orange juice.
Amazing.
And everything changed.
Yeah. I believe it.
So that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Dave Arnold again. I mean, these guys really hugely inspired me for where we're at and what we're doing.
Well, that's rad, man. What else you got in the bag? Let's taste another drink and talk about how you came up with it. Sounds like they're doing some gardening on the roof.
I'm starting to forget how I did all of this.
that's why everything moves so slow in our world. You get right up on something, and then you get drunk off of it, and then you wake up the next day and go, how the fuck did I do that?
What the fuck were we doing?
I don't remember.
All right, this one is called... This is actually... I would call this one our signature cocktail. This one is not based on any classic or anything like that. It's called Transmit the Box. It is chipotle infused El Pelotón de la Muerte mezcal, which is, I love. Aperol, chocolate tincture, lime tincture, orange tincture, acid. I need my staff here to remind me what else is in it.
Heart, sweat,
but it's
tears.
It's a smoky that smoky, you know, sour cocktail.
Holy crap. That's delicious as well.
Clove tincture.
Did you say something,
we
Matt?
Finish it.
I thought I heard you say it was delicious.
We finish it with clove tincture.
With what? Clove?
Clove tincture.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which I did. I did put a little bit in here, but not probably didn't spec it out quite right. But
Right, because that's another thing I noticed when I was there drinking every single cocktail on your menu. to be fair, I was sharing them all with
him. He tasted. I saw the picture. They were half full.
I was. Yeah, exactly.
Or half empty.
Yeah. And I was sharing with someone, so we didn't. We went to Jupiter Disco afterwards, and we were fine. Nice. No idea how I got home, but still.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. So this is delicious and smoky, and
Are you heading in the direction of what the little?
You finished all your cocktails, or not all, but some. So just as in any bar, cocktails get finished with a twist or
right.
a spray of Lafrague or whatever garnish, etc.
Yep.
Lemon twist, pineapple wedge, etc. You had underneath each tap, not all of them, but some spray bottles. And that was your sort of finishing move on a lot of the drinks.
Yeah, another...
is that what you're talking about here? This should have been like a little clove action?
Yeah, we dropped it. Drop it in. Nice. I did drop it in, yeah.
Because clove is a little numbing on your tongue.
Yeah, it'll numb your... Yeah.
When I was my uncle is a dentist, and when we were kids... This is a terrible story. When we were kids, he's also a super religious fellow. And he wouldn't give the kids any drugs when we had toothaches or whatever. He'd say, here, suck on this. He'd give us a whole clove and say, put it between your lip and gum and suck on it. It'll numb it. It won't hurt. But literally for 20-plus years after that, anything that had cloves in it, to me, tasted like a toothache.
Well, homeopathic
solution. Like the Christmas ham with all the cloves. I was like, that's just a toothache. I don't want that.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty horrible.
But I'm over it. And I do taste it, and I enjoy it, right? So this is delicious. But so let's talk about...
This cocktail tastes like a toothache, bro.
Yeah, well, hey, that could be a good thing. So talk to the audience and myself about the... Those little sprays and those little finishing blows. So
another inspiration from The Amazing White Lion was their non-use of, I mean, their sustainability, really, yep. You know.
Just in case anybody doesn't know, White Lion was Tales of the Cocktails' best cocktail, international cocktail bar. Their whole program was non-perishable. They didn't even have ice. Everything on the bar was
no garnish, no trash.
Yeah, non-perishable. So they prepared all cocktails in advance and then literally scaled them out on a gram scale into your glass.
Yeah, they weighed them to serve. We weigh our cocktails to prepare.
Yeah, exactly.
But they weighed to serve. It was amazing. It's an amazing experience. Yeah. But yeah, that was sort of, you know. So I my experience with. Fancy garnishes, and I'm not saying that I'm against that. I'm just saying my experience was a lot of times if the drink doesn't get ordered, there's times that you're throwing these garnishes mm-hmm. away. They go bad, especially when you're talking herbs and, you know, things like that. So I wanted to avoid that. So we've got, you know, they're tinctures, they're aromatic sprays basically to emulate, you know, the twist and
emulate those aromas and those
the aromas, those yeah, oily it's all about mouth the nose, really. Yeah.
Of course, aroma is 90% of flavor.
Yeah,
90. It's crazy.
Some of them are dropped in. 90% of them are sprayed across the top, on the finish or before the drink is poured in. So that is our garnish. We don't use bar napkins. There's only a couple drinks that we use straws in. We really try to keep our, you know, we don't serve bottles or cans of beer or anything like that. So our trash is extremely minimal there.
That's great.
Yeah. Try to be a little bit sustainable there. So.
Yeah. Aiming for sustainability. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a minimal footprint. You know,
there's a byproduct of that. It's like you want things to be sort of easy and streamlined, you know, and this is easy and streamlined, but it also, you know, is good for the environment and that kind of thing. So,
yeah, it's weirdly, I think we constantly think of ourselves as forward thinking when we try and do these things. Meanwhile, that's kind of how it used to be.
Yeah.
We're kind of just kind of getting
very,
back
very
to
good point.
We're kind of just trying to get back to like doing things the right way.
Yeah, what do I need all this shit? I'm just like,
yeah,
it's just about the drink. Like,
it's literally garbage. I don't buy straws at Amore Margo because I can't get around the fact that I feel like it's a giant box that's garbage. With a bunch of little boxes inside of it, yes, that are garbage, with a bunch of one-time use pieces of plastic wrapped in a one-time use piece of paper. I'm literally buying garbage, and then paying someone to haul it away.
Yeah, and you got a guy that has to have a straw, but they just bend it over in their glass to drink out of it, or, you know, they're chewed up, or they're in your sink, or, you know.
Yeah.
So
miserable.
The only ones that we put it in is actually our nugget ice drinks, because you kind
of
Of course.
There's a time and a place. But then you can even get nerdy and go down the road of, you know, metal straws,
absolutely,
et cetera,
yeah.
Which they're doing over at Margoto. Right, Matt?
Booyah.
He just puts his thumb up. He refused.
People steal those? We have people stealing our fucking glasses constantly.
Well, your glasses are adorable. We can talk about those for a second. So you use all beakers, right? Scientific beakers. So they're like graduated on the side.
Yeah. As you know, we didn't do that to be kitschy or...
They're economical. They're not expensive.
Yeah. I mean, price one of those out when you're trying to price a flute or a coupe.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're a buck a piece.
Right. And then you got all the sizes. You got the tiny one for shots, the medium-sized one for low ball,
we got
old-fashioned.
Pint, 500 mil. We have 500 mil, 250 mil tall boy, which would be our version of like a Collins.
A highball, yeah.
Yeah. And then... And we got a 250 low boy, which is like our old fashioned, which is just a smushed version of the tall boy. And then we got 140 mil, which is like our on the rocks pour. And then we have a 50 mil, which is what we do our cocktail shots in, because it has a 30 mil line. But it really...
I was about to say, that's the great part about it. All these drinks are on tap, and the vessel is graduated.
It's so got lines.
You can measure. Like, You're still jiggering.
That was just like... It was like a booyah, because you're like, oh my God, like they're super cheap. They've got measuring lines on them. So yeah. it's just sort of a no brainer, and then it comes across like super, you know, kitschy and whatever. But that's,
well, I think in a very subtle way, it speaks to what you're doing in the quote unquote kitchen lab, right? It says like we're serious, we're measuring things, we're not just, this isn't a throwaway.
Yeah, no.
Which
yeah.
I think the proof's in the pudding, by the way. As soon as someone gets a drink in their hand, I'm sure they're convinced.
Yeah, and that's all. I mean, I really appreciate you saying that. Yeah, that's all. I mean, you come in and have a drink and then make your decision.
It's
a
pretty small investment to investigate, right?
Absolutely.
You know,
especially
our
drinks,
your highest
priced
cocktails, $11 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to Bushwick, man.
Yeah.
Can't do that in Manhattan. And then we can talk just real briefly about, because the show's coming to a close.
Oh, wow.
But we'll talk real briefly about how, in fact, those graduated glasses play into your secret menu. Do you want to talk about the secret menu, or do you want to leave it alone? It's a secret.
No, let's talk about it, yeah. Yeah, so quickly, because I also want to talk about the wandering barman.
So we
also wanted to be able to make drinks to order. So how can you do that? Well, you start mixing cocktails, which there are not many places in the world that I know of that can make drinks by mixing cocktails. So mixing finished cocktails anyway. So, you know, from an inspiration of like, you know, a gas station or a pharmacy soda tower, doing your, what do they call it? The Hail Mary of
the suicide.
Suicide. Yeah. So
did you say something, Matt?
He's agreeing.
Yeah, but yeah, he spoke. He spoke.
Yeah, so myself and one of our staff, Mark, we started talking about, you know, maybe creating a secret menu, and, you know, because he had asked me, have you experimented with like adding cocktails to cocktails? And
right.
I was like, yeah, dude, this is kind of cool. Like, some of these things taste really fucking good together, you know.
Well,
yeah,
so I know we're gonna get off this, because we're gonna talk about one more thing before we go, but. That's how I feel about what I do at Amore Margo. Not that I'm actually mixing cocktails with cocktails, but I mix Amaros with Amaros and make cocktails.
An Amaro feels
like a cocktail.
Oh, absolutely, man.
So get yourself over to yours sincerely and have a drink off the menu, of course, but then have one off the secret menu.
You just have to do an Instagram post and tag yours sincerely, and you get, it is a invisible ink situation, so you get black light.
Don't give it all away.
It's a secret.
It's charming. Yes, exactly. Now, you make prepared cocktails, you make kegged cocktails. Where are you going with all this?
So, next side project. I've been enlisted in doing a consultantship for a new bottle cocktail company that's coming. It's set to launch in August. It's called Wandering Barman.
The Wandering Barman.
Yep. Doing prepared bottled cocktails. Coming to market with four expressions based on cocktails that we have on tap at Yours Sincerely.
Amazing.
We're doing our Swipe Right, which is our date bourbon infused old fashioned. We're doing the Administered Dose, which is our spin on the penicillin. We're doing a hibiscus daiquiri, hibiscus basil daiquiri, and a drink called the Socialite, which is a gin old fashioned with cucumber, elderflower, celery.
And you've got them right here in front of me. They're 100 milliliter bottles with a beautiful label on there. And they're ready to drink.
Ready to drink, dilution involved.
So you don't even need to put them on ice?
We prefer if you put them over ice. Okay. Absolutely, you know, because really we're going for like, it's a craft cocktail. We want you to drink it like it was a craft cocktail.
Right on.
But you can have it in scenarios that you, at the moment, craft cocktails aren't available. So
we can look for the Wandering Barman in August.
Yeah, we're going to bars, restaurants, airlines, hotel, mini bars.
It sounds great. And if they taste as good as these drinks that I've just had, which I'm absolutely
You've actually
confident.
Had oh, the one most had. Of them. Well, if you've been to the bar, a lot of them.
Right, because they're off your menu, yeah. which I had all of. So what's the, plug yourself real fast, address, email, or address, website, et cetera.
Yours Sincerely. We are yoursincerely.co. We forgot to put the M on the com. Just kidding. We just weren't able to get it. So it is yoursincerely.co. 41 Wilson Avenue in Bushwick. We are 5 to 2 a.m., 5 to midnight on Sundays.
Nice. And Wandering Barman, we'll just look for it.
Wandering Barman. Wandering Barman. Let me grab my...
You dig for that.
WanderingBarman.com.
Oh, easy enough.
WanderingBarman.com. Yeah, set to launch end of summer, August. We're looking.
Rad. I'm going to wrap up the show real fast. It was great having you on, Darren. I encourage everyone to get over to Yours Sincerely in Brooklyn and look out for Wandering Barman as well. Coming up, a few things. I'm going to plug myself. On the 19th, I'm going to be teaching a class at ICE, the Institute of Culinary Education here in New York City, all about Amaros and cocktails. Next Wednesday on the show, Tanya Guffey, highly anticipated. She's going to bring Jackson Stamper with her, her man, and he's going to possibly bring us some snacks because he is one of the sous chefs over at Employees Only. And Tanya Guffey is just a hero of ours in our minds. As a bar professional. The following week, we got Kyle and Rachel Ford from the Ford Marketing Lab. The following week, my team's going to be on here. Robbie DeRossi, Max Green, and myself from Coup, which is my bar, where we donate 100% of our profits to charity.
Congratulations on the Tails Nod, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You deserve to win 100%.
Well, I appreciate that. So come over to Coup and drink with a purpose, but listen to us on the show. That'll be on the 5th of July. Damon Bolte will be back here next week to join us on the show. For today, I'm signing off from the Speakeasy. Please tune into Heritage Radio Network to listen to hundreds of other shows just like this one. Always go to our website and hit that beating heart to donate and keep the shows on air. Thank you so much for joining us on the Speakeasy. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Alweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.